There are several obvious principles that I want to remind us of this morning. For some reason, these basic principles are quick to fade in the minds of people, even our Christians, when wickedness is upon us. A lot of things that we are told in our society, this is true. This is true. There were several debates this week. And I mentioned on Wednesday I was going to go home and watch just for the amusement. The problem was, by the time I was done, I wasn't amused. I was scared. They took one question and went across and took a show of hands on how many believe that abortion is certainly a fine way of tending to ladies' health care. I'm not sure what you call it for the baby. And all the hands went up. And then it began to kind of argue and kind of be proud of who was more willing and who would go further in the area of abortion than the other. Some proudly wanted to stand there and say that they were going to stand for the rights of sinful sexual activity. And you know, if to be honest with you, though I don't understand a lot of that, I don't look in people's houses and find out what they do. Now, it really isn't any of my business. Here's the problem. It's God's business. And He's already said it. And when a nation turns its back on truth, we're turning our back on God. You cannot separate God from His truth. And so when you separate, when you turn your back on truth, you turn your back on God, all of a sudden now we have become enemies with God. We have loved the world above our relationship with God. History has shown, and Abraham Lincoln again spoke, he said, those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. History has proven that to be true. Oh, they may rise for a while, and they may do fine, what looks appear to be fine for a while, but it's not going to be there. Asaph said, listen, I was well nigh slipped, but then I found out, I went to the sanctuary of the Lord and found out that He had put them in slippery places. They won't be there forever. I'm not mad at them. I feel bad for them. I pity folks who think that they can just live in sin and get away with it. It doesn't work that way. I'll be honest with you. Not that I've lived in a lot of those lifestyles, but I've sinned. I'm a sinner like anybody else, and I may have been childlike sins and teenager sins and so forth, but be sure your sin shall find you out. The Lord is still alive. He's well. He sees everything. He knows the hearts of men from the inside and the outside. He knows our every rising up and every lying down. He knows our very thoughts and intents of our heart. And He knows these things. And truth is still truth. I got a couple principles I want you to see, and we'll be done here this morning. Number one, very basic truth. If a principle is truth, it will never cease being truth. If it is true, then it will always be true. Now I understand that there was a truth that I was once thin, and that's no longer true. I understand that. I'm not. Don't go semantics here with me. But the Word of God is true. Always has been true. Always will be true. Certain things are sin and certain things are righteous. That's true and always will be true, always has been true. Truth never changes. Number two, man's thoughts and philosophies come and go, but truth continues to march on unchanged, whether anyone believes it or not. Man's thoughts and philosophies come and go, but truth marches on, whether we believe it or not. Makes no difference whether you like it. It makes no difference whether you even want to believe that it's true. But truth is still truth. If listen, that's why we are where we are in this world, because we have taken away the absolutes of truth. Number three, similar to what I just said, but listen to me. Truth is marching on whether we march with it or not. There's a lot of things, and probably in our own lives, there's things that we have set aside that really is true, and we have kind of laid aside in our lives. But our nation has in many ways, have decided that truth is what I believe it to be. Truth is what we individually believe it to be. I remember when I was in college, I took a class called Contemporary Religious Movement. The professor's name was Ira Zepp, Western Maryland College, now called McDaniel College. It was a secular college where I got my music degree from, and I knew it wasn't a Christian college, and I was just there to get my music degree. And in that class, they all thought he was the most wonderful teacher, because truth, as far as he was concerned, was what you believe it to be. If that's what truth is in your heart, then fine. Isn't that wonderful? It's interesting, though, everybody else, whether it was the Krishnas, the Moonies, remember the Moonies? All that stuff. We had those people come into our class. And truth was whatever you wanted to be. But he named the local independent Baptist church by name and called it a cult. But everybody else, truth was what you wanted it to be, whatever you liked it to be. It's interesting how that goes. But the fact is, it probably makes sense, because there is the truth of God's word, and then there's everything else. You just got to decide which side of the line you're going to stand. We can either march on with truth to ultimate victory, or we can be trampled by truth as it marches on without us. Do you catch the picture here? See, people think, well, I don't have to go along with that because I don't believe that's true and I don't like that. And the world says, well, you don't like that, don't go with it. That's fine, but truth is marching on. You can call, well, we're marching to our own little drummer here. No, but that's fine. But truth eventually is going to catch up with you. Truth is somewhere down the road, we're going to be faced with the absolute truth of God's word. One way or another. It may be on this side of eternity, it may be on that side of eternity, but we are going to be face to face with truth, marching on. Luke chapter 20, verse 17 says this, the words of Christ. What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We come to Christ, and yes, it breaks us. It makes us, it opens up what we are. It brings us to a broken, a contrite heart. But he says, I tell you what, if he has to do the falling on you, it's going to be bad. We have to humble ourselves before truth. But one of these days, if we have not humbled ourselves before truth, truth will humble us. There will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will not be able to hide from truth. We will not be able to stand and claim our own truth. Either we get in line with truth, or we will eventually be run over by truth. I think that happens in a lot of lives. There are people, in fact, to tell you the truth, most of us probably, have in our early days, you know how it is, we become a teenager, we all of a sudden know everything. And we figured out life, and we know what we're going to do, and we went off and did our own thing. Even though truth was going a different direction, we went that direction, and then a few years later, truth catches up with us. And we did what we wanted to do, and we didn't want to be hemmed in by truth. But the fact is, we come back and find out that we're crushed by truth. Number four. If you are on the side of truth, you are on the winning side, whether it appears you are or not. If you're on the side of truth, you are on the winning side, whether it appears at the time or not. I bet you there was times in the Civil War where people were trying to stand up and they thought they were doing what's right, and it looked like we were not going to make it. We're beaten down. There's only a few of us left. We're never going to survive. The Union's going to divide, and the nation will fall. We have a more sure plan, more sure promise with God's word, because truth, that truth will never change. You reap what you sow. Listen, I don't like the position it puts me in sometimes when you stand on truth. I'm not scared of the position. I don't like hurting people, making them feel bad. I don't want everybody to like me. I like everybody else. But truth is marching on. And I don't want it to march on without me. Because I want to be where truth is. I want to, when truth shows up at the throne of God, I want to be there right there with it. I don't want to be off someplace and something else that looked better than truth. And the fact is, I also know that those who walk in truth will see his face and he will be happy to hear, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." So I have to make sure you know truth. Listen, our world has taken truth and thrown it out the window. They have told us stories and given us tales. They've changed history. They've rewritten the morals of our nation. In the midst of all this, listen, have people done a lot of awful, terrible things in the name of Christ? Yes, they have. That doesn't mean Christ was in on it. My son, Nathan, one of the assistant pastors here, before we homeschooled, spent some time in the principal's office. You knew what that door looked like from both sides. He wasn't really a bad kid, he's just busy. But he's got my blood running through his veins. And I know where he got, you know, the way he is from his mother. But I don't want to be blamed for everything my children do. We shouldn't blame God for everything his children do. There's been things that have been done in the name of Christ that were wrong. We have no business deciding somebody is morally wrong and then we beat them up. Kill them. Treat them any different than simple respect. On Wednesday night, we've been talking about John 8, and the woman was caught in adultery. And it was brought right in the midst of Jesus having a little Bible study there by the synagogue. And the Pharisees bring her in right in the midst of the whole bunch. Just embarrassing. How embarrassing can that be? And yet, how did Jesus deal with her? In love and compassion. Didn't justify the sin, but said, "Go and sin no more. But neither do I condemn thee." I mean, there has been years where Christians have basically, you know, they're about ready to take somebody who committed adultery and string them up, tar and feather them, hang them from the highest iron if they could. Is it wrong? Yes, it's wrong. But he that hath no sin cast the first stone. What am I aiming at? There was another anniversary this week. You see it? It's now a truth. And it's praised. The riot at Stonewall Inn in New York. Little bar. 50 years ago, it was a gay bar. And the police raided the place. And apparently it was not good. And it went bad. I see a room full of people trying to find themselves. To be honest with you, I see a room full of people that need to be pitied. They don't know what they are. But all this LBGTQ, RSTUVWXYZ, and I'd say that, I'm sorry, I'm getting a laugh at their expense. They're lost. They're lost. They're confused. Because the absolutes of truth have been stolen away and not proclaimed. They're not eventually going to win. They're on the losing side. And you know, we can say, well, I just give up. No, stay on the side of truth. March on with truth. In love, but firmly on truth. Here's where we are beginning to live in our nation. Listen to it. Romans 1. Verse 18, this is where we are in our nation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they think that one of the worst things that could happen is to stand against sin, to stand where the Bible stands. They think it's unrighteous to hold truth as truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in the heavens here. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All that's to say this. Look at creation. Tell me there's no God. Typical illustration. Give me your watch. I've got a sledgehammer over here. Let's take it down to its elements and stir it in a can and see how long it takes to get a watch out of there that works. We're going to stir a long time. But all the elements are there. That's what we are expected to believe in evolution. All the elements were there. And somehow everything got stirred up, struck by lightning, and here we are. But creation tells us different and tells us the power of God. It says, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they knew who He was. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They're denying truth, which is really, by the way, deny truth, especially that truth, is the epitome of arrogance and pride. I know more than truth. It says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. It's like we're not going to march on with truth. We're going to march to our own drummer. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Now, do you understand what I just said there? Now tell me that the New Testament is neutral on homosexuality. Number six. We are not going to get away with trampling down truth. Not us, not our nation. We are not going to get away with trampling down truth. Romans 2:2 says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory and honor to peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. In these perilous days, our society doesn't want to hear truth. 2 Timothy 3 says in verse 7, they're ever learning and never able to become to the knowledge of the truth. They're lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minded. That's where we are. And those that stand for truth are often seen as the enemy. Galatians 4:16, Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We must stand on truth. We may stand in the truth and for the truth. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We can march on with truth to ultimate victory, or we can attempt to march against truth and be crushed by it. The Lord is willing that all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How do we prepare to do this? 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you know truth? We are such tossed about like little children, wind by the wind, tossed to and fro, because we do not know truth. We hear somebody who looks sharp, who has a good presentation, seems to know what they're talking about, comes from 50 miles away and carries a briefcase, and they'll tell us something, and we'll find them like a bunch of little puppy dogs. Well, they sure must know what they're talking about. They write some book, and because it's on the New York bestsellers list, we think, well, that must be truth. Dr. Phil had him on twice. It must be truth. Oprah has given her endorsement. It must be truth. All the candidates of this particular party has given agreement that this is what we must do. It must be truth. We need to know truth. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Are you marching on with truth and in truth, or are you walking in the wisdom of this world, which is against truth? John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. If we expect our nation to survive, we must go back to truth as much as we can. Say, well, listen, God was going to save Sodom and Gomorrah with 10 people. There's enough Christians to keep the wrath of God from destroying this nation. But we need to walk in truth. If our nation refuses to go back to truth, we can still have the peace of God and the blessings of God, watch, on our own lives. I hate to say it, what if everybody in your town, everybody in your family, all of your friends, even your church, God forbid, decides not to march with truth? You march on with truth. You march on in truth. You're still on the winning side, even if you're the only one on that side. You can still be blessed of God, even though you're the only one getting the blessing. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. He said, he's telling the king there, you didn't do that. You're going to have problems and wars. We may not live in a nation blessed by God, but we can be blessed by God ourselves nonetheless. Truth is marching on. Who are you marching with? It used to be when someone walked contrary to the word of God, we said they marched to the beat of a different drummer. We've come to the point in our nation that those who march with truth are accused of marching to the beat of a different drummer. Come out from among them, be ye separate, say the Lord, and I'll be a father unto you. Truth is marching on. You'd either march with it or be crushed by it. Father, give me thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Lord, I pray that you work in our lives. May our folks, may we as individuals stand for truth. And Lord, we stand for truth. It could be that we could do more to encourage others to stand for truth. Heads are bowed and our eyes.